This is LBC News.
LBC News time just coming up to 18 minutes to midnight. It's Chris Golds with you here on LBC News. On a historic day, Joe Biden has become one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful person in the world. He's been inaugurated as the 46th President of the United States of America in an eerily quiet Washington, where spectators have been replaced by a sea of flags waving gently in the breeze. Kamala Harris, she's been sworn in as the first female, first black and first South Asian Vice President. We've had Lady Gaga, we've had Jennifer Lopez, we've had former presidents, including Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama. Donald Trump wasn't there. He flew off to Florida instead before the ceremony even got underway. But it has been an historic day. So let's talk more about what's happened today and what's happened in the last few moments as well here on LBC News with our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Evening to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
Well, let's start with Joe Biden really getting down to business. He's been in the Oval Office already, signing executive orders. He's been swearing people in. He promised to get going, and he really is.
Yes, absolutely. And there is a lot to come tonight, because even after Joe Biden finishes up the government business, the serious business that he's immediately cracked on with, there's an evening of celebration ahead, albeit somewhat curtailed and constrained by COVID-19, but lots of virtual celebrations and a second inaugural address, which is how the White House is billing another speech that Joe Biden will be making in a little while. But no sooner had he got into the Oval Office, I mean, within minutes of walking into the Oval Office, than he was signing a large stack of, I think, 17 executive orders, proclamations and memoranda. We know pretty much what he's done at the stroke of the pens that were on his desk. And they were regular ballpoint pens, not Sharpie felt tipped ones. The President of the United States, who was wearing a face mask behind the desk of the Oval Office, talk about ringing the symbolic changes. At the stroke of those various pens, he took America back into the Paris Climate Change Accords. He terminated the suspension of America's membership of the World Health Organization. He overturned Donald Trump's ban on inward travel to the United States by people from predominantly Muslim nations. He overturned a move by Donald Trump to prevent undocumented aliens in the United States from being counted as part of the census. So a whole raft of immediate moves, the Keystone XL pipeline, that's not going ahead any longer. That's been scrapped at the stroke of President Joe Biden's pen. So a whole variety of executive orders designed very, very rapidly to symbolize that first, he's getting on with the job. Secondly, he's got very clear and very different priorities to his predecessor, and they include combating COVID-19. He signed an order mandating that all federal workers and employees wear face masks on any federal government facility all over the country, absolutely symbolizing, through the return to the Paris Climate Change Accords, the much higher focus that climate change and environmentalism is going to have within his administration. He mentioned it today in his inaugural address, 3.5 minutes in to that address, even before he came on to the issue of domestic terrorism, political extremism and white supremacy. He's also symbolizing that there is a new sheriff in town by virtually swearing in a large number of officials who in the short term will be taking acting positions in his government to oversee the various departments of it, while he waits for Congress to confirm those people that he's selected to join his cabinet, men and women like Antony Blinken, the incoming Secretary of State, Avril Haines, the incoming Director of National Intelligence, who I think is about to be confirmed in that position up on Capitol Hill. She seems to be the first one coming to a vote. But he also, very interestingly, Chris, was very direct with the people that he was swearing in and the members of staff who were joining his administration. He warned them that if he heard any of them talking down or talking dismissively to other members, to colleagues, he would fire them on the spot. The only thing I expect with absolute certainty is honesty and decency, he said. The way you treat one another, the way you treat the people you deal with. Everyone is entitled to human decency and dignity. That's been missing in a big way for the last 4 years. And he urged those people working in his new administration to remember the people don't work for us, we work for the people. I work for the people, they pay my salary, they pay your salary, they put their faith in you, and I've put my faith in you. So it's an absolutely new broom sweeping through a White House that was cleaned on an industrial scale while the Bidens were at the inauguration after the Trumps left the building. President Biden now absolutely signifying that change has arrived. He said, by the way, that he's read the note that he received from President Trump that was left in the Oval Office desk. It was, he said, very generous. He said because it was a private communication, he didn't want to disclose its contents until he had spoken to President Trump. There was no indication as to when that conversation might occur, but he did describe it as a very generous letter.
And not only has Joe Biden been getting down to work in his new office, Kamala Harris has been in the Senate, swearing in three new senators. And so now the Democrats have control of the House and will make things easier to get the legislation that Joe Biden and his administration intend to get through the House.
Yeah, well, that's all part of the dizzying array of events that has occurred here, because exactly as you point out, simultaneously as Joe Biden was getting to grips with things in the White House, Kamala Harris, who as Vice President of the United States also fills the role as President of the Senate, was over swearing people in and formally turning over control of the Senate to Charles Schumer, the Democrat from New York, who is now the Senate Majority Leader. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, becomes the Senate Minority Leader. Now, the Democrats' majority, as you know, is basically non-existent. It's a 50-50 tie in the Senate, but Kamala Harris, as President of the Senate, will get to cast the deciding vote on any piece of legislation that is tied up 50-50. And because she's the deciding vote, that means that the Democrats now get to control the committees, they get to control the agenda for the U.S. Senate, and that is just yet another example of the very substantial turnover and change that has taken place in this city in one 24-hour period. Remember, Joe Biden and the Democrats hoped they were going to enjoy a majority, a real working majority in the Senate. They didn't end up winning the landslide that they anticipated back in November. It isn't going to be easy and plain sailing for Joe Biden up there, because the Democrats, even though there are 50 of them, 51 if you include Kamala Harris, don't march in a lockstep. There are Democrats who come from conservative-leaning parts of the country. We will hear loads over the next 2 years at least about Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia who is the most conservative-leaning Democrat in the caucus. He's suddenly going to become incredibly important, because if Joe Biden doesn't have him on board for some of the things that Joe Biden wants to do, they won't get done. So there's going to have to be enormous discipline among Democrats on Capitol Hill, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to have to be very aware that on some issues they will have to dilute and water down the policy pledges they made if they want to get things passed.
Also coming up in with think about 10 minutes time potentially is a news briefing, so stick around if you love a press conference. This is the new White House press secretary Jen Psaki holding the first briefing in the White House press briefing room since Kayleigh McEnany's back on the 15th of December.
Talk about ringing the changes. The White House briefing room, the Biden administration says, will be used every day for press conferences by the White House press secretary to inform reporters and the American public about what Joe Biden has been up to. I am guessing that this first press conference of the Biden administration will not include a lecture to reporters about crowd size at the president's inauguration, as Sean Spicer engaged in on the first night of the Trump administration 4 years ago, nor, knowing Jen Psaki, is it going to include daily lectures to the media about how they should be doing their jobs, as we had to endure from Ms. McEnany. And also very bad news in all of this for some of the propaganda television networks, particularly One America News, which of course is not a news channel, traffics in the sort of conspiracy theories that Donald Trump has very much espoused over the last few weeks. Their White House correspondent, who should never have been allowed in the briefing room because she didn't have official recognition from the White House Correspondents Association, which runs that briefing room, is presumably not going to be smuggled in by Joe Biden's press secretary. So jolly bad luck for them as we all sort of revert to some of the normal procedures that existed in administrations past, Democrat and Republican. And I think that that was one of the kind of abiding images of the day, Chris. After the inauguration was over, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, their first stop was the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. And they paid their respects before the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, flanked by the Obamas, the Bushes, George W. Bush and Laura Bush, and the Clintons, Bill and Hillary Clinton. And it was just jarring. Throughout the entire day, one had obviously been very aware that Donald Trump had skipped town and shirked his responsibilities to behave decently and engage in the transition and attend the inauguration. But I think what really hit that home was his absence from the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Really just extraordinary, an extraordinary moment that kind of conveyed that we're hurtling back to some sort of behavior by the President of the United States and the White House and his predecessors that comports with normalcy. And that Donald Trump and Melania Trump have left themselves just absolutely out of that conversation, out of the mainstream. They are just not participants in the institutional observances that mark an inauguration and the other great moments of state here in the United States.
And do you think that is what is going to be symbolic of the differences between the two inaugurations? You know, you and I covered Donald Trump's inauguration 4 years ago, and I think there were many moments when we were both sort of watching in awe, jaws on the floor, quite not able to believe what we were watching, what we were listening to, what we were witnessing. And then the 4 years that have preceded, how different this few hours, these, what, 6-7 hours since Joe Biden was sworn in, how different they are already.
Yes, absolutely. That is something that the Biden administration, I think, really wanted to convey. And if you listen to Joe Biden's inaugural address, as I'm sure you did, Chris, I mean, I think it was a reckoning. It was a moment of reckoning for the country. It would have been easy for Joe Biden to go there and just engage in the usual cadences of I'm going to govern the country in the interests of the United States of America. And he did give voice to that, and he gave voice to his often used claim that, you know, if we work together, there's nothing we can't do here in the United States of America. But he went much further than that. He essentially said to Americans, we need to level with one another. We've got a massive problem here. We can't engage in frenzied politics where constantly we're being told the world is on fire, there's a fire raging, and every single disagreement leads to political warfare. He warned very vividly multiple times through the speech of the threat posed to American security, so symbolically evident on the streets of Washington, D.C., with the National Guard presence, over 20,000 of them, of the dangers of extremism, of white supremacy, and also of conspiracy theories and of a country where tonight millions of people are going to bed believing that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. He urged people to embrace truth and to move away from what he called, well, first of all, lies, but he also referred to as manipulated facts, what Kellyanne Conway, the former Trump advisor, referred to as alternative facts when early in the Trump era trying to explain some of the numerous lies that the president was telling at the time. chairman, of course, would go on to traffic in throughout his presidency. That message to America that this is a time of reckoning for the country and that you've absolutely got to embrace truth if this country is to stand a chance of returning to its constitutional moorings was, on the one hand, a hugely important message to deliver for the domestic audience, but on the other hand, a measure of how uncertain the future is here, with millions of people who will listen to that speech and view it as the viewpoint of someone who is illegitimate in the White House. For as much joy as there is among Democrats today, there is anger among core supporters of President Trump who genuinely believe, because he has told them for the last 11 weeks, that this election was stolen. And that's going to be a massive problem for Joe Biden as he tries to move forward and establish a sense of legitimacy.
Absolutely. Well, of course, we'll continue to bring you the very latest here on LBC News as Joe Biden really certainly does get down to work. Thank you very much to Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent there, live from Washington. No doubt more from him later on this week.
Joe Biden's presidential inauguration at the Capitol Building, Washington, D.C. on LBC News.